Blog Talk Radio.
Leroy Jenkins!
Oh, you dropped your coffee? Guess what, I'm going to do it again.
Leroy!
No time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, cause they'll find you, burn you. Then he said, if you wanna get out alive,
I'm up watching Ginger jump up and down in Second Life.
Yeah, my little toddler. Well, not on my. I'm made to look like a toddler at the moment.
She's looking all little. I want to give her some candy and say, okay, now sit down, sweetie. It's okay. Sit down while we do the show.
Yeah, I know. My RP mom was on earlier on the other one. I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? She's like, yeah, I'm on my phone, so I can't see you. Let's see what kind of trouble I can get into then.
I like the hands. That's new. I haven't seen the hand things.
The hand things? Oh.
The little girls I had the other day when I was taking pictures of my dress, they had one where one was just spinning. I was like, oh, my God, you have to turn that off. I'm getting dizzy just watching you. I can't take pictures of you like that.
Wow.
And y'all, stop it. That's when I started. I got it. Sit down. Oh, wait a minute. You're not real kids, children. Okay, stop.
Yeah. No. This is the crazy kid AO. It's a free AO, so...
It works well. It works well.
Yeah. Cause I checked out some of the other AOs for the kids, and I was like, these are not cute.
They're super cute. Just too much spinning. Oh, I was dizzy. Good morning to our lovely peoples out there. I forgot. We just had someone pop in the room. Old school GGR popped in. Hello, Patrick.
I know. Like, who's this? I don't know who Patrick is.
Wait a minute. Did you... Is that one of the old GGRs at the other Game Child show that you posted? Patrick has all some of our old stuff, like before Twitch existed, when we started to record it and post it, when, you know, the same way a lot of people still do their podcasts. We're one of the few that's live, people, interactive. One of the guys that used to do or work with us on original Gamer Girls Radio's birthday's today. So happy birthday to you, Captain Maverick, if you're out there listening. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Yay! Is, but yay!
He was our protector while we were in LA. He's a very tall. He doesn't look imposing, but I guess because he was tall, they were thinking he was dangerous. But he was protecting me when Blaster wasn't around. And being chauffeurs, he drove us around. I don't know where he was.
Captain Caveman! Oh my God!
Captain Caveman! Oh my God! Why are you making my head hurt? Why would you do that? Don't make my head hurt.
I love you.
I do love you. Well, you know, Microsoft is still trying to recover. But it's not doing very well, but Nintendo's doing well this morning. I'm just giving you all a few highlights of stuff we're going to tell you about. Nintendo's doing very, very well. I'm going to start with them because, you know, last night we were talking, and, of course, everybody has their comments about Nintendo. They released Animal Crossing New Leaf, and it is kicking all kinds of ass this morning. I had to use the A word just to illustrate just how serious this is. Satoru Iwata, I love saying his name, revealed that the latest Animal Crossing title has broken digital sales records for the company, sold more than 4 million copies just in Japan alone. That's not even here in the U.S. It was launched here in the U.S. this past Sunday on the 9th, and they said it had immediate impact. The digital version of the game set a new record for launch day sales in the Nintendo eShop and sales of Nintendo 3DS hardware, and nearly four times greater than that of the previous week. The game is due for release today in Europe, and it has a Metacritic score, which really doesn't matter, of 88. What matters is the numbers it's selling. Who cares what Metacritic thinks? In Japan, it's become a hit with sales of more than 4 million units. Again, a wide variety of consumers, including women, enjoy this title. Iwata, please don't do that. Don't say including women. They said they've given great momentum to the sales of Nintendo 3DS. I knew this one was going to help them sell a lot of Nintendo 3DSs, because I'm telling you, I'm looking at me and Baby Nature's 3DS is going, you guys may have to go. I need to get some Animal Crossing up in here like nobody's business. Man, because we
are an Animal Crossing fan,
we
love
us some Animal Crossing in this house, mostly wintertime. If it had come out in winter, it wouldn't even be a question, because I got to have it so I can get under the blanket and sit and stare into the little screen and yell at the animals like I like to do. He says because consumers tend to play this game continually, they actively use the Nintendo 3DS over an extended period, and the game has greately contributed to the platform in ways, many ways. The success of this title is crucial for the future of Nintendo 3DS in European markets, so I think they're going to be just fine. Tim, got to get you into some Animal Crossing. You're missing out on some good stuff. I know you love your APBs, but come on over and try this one. I'm telling you, you'll like it. What you're like is it continues to play when you're not playing. When you come back, it's something else going on.
I'll have to check it out.
And the fishing is epic. Absolutely epic. Absolutely.
She knows how to talk to me. She's all, yeah.
It's the fishing.
You want to come fish. And I'm like, stop it.
And you can share things with people, even when you don't mean to. I think I might have told this story before. The coolest thing I had happen in playing Animal Crossing is, and I don't know if this feature's in the new one, but you used to be able to put a message in a bottle and throw it into the ocean, and it would show up in somebody else's game just at random. So I put a message in that says, you know, whoever finds this bottle, if you come to GamerNatures.com or listen to Gamer Girls Radio, we'll give you a code for a game. And I had a guy, little boy from the UK message me and say, I got your bottle. It was so cool. I have no idea who this person was. I got your bottle, so I gave him a code for something, whatever it was we had at the time. We had a bunch of. So that's always cool that, you know, it keeps people interacting, you know, people you never even thought you'd meet.
That is neat, yeah.
So it was very, very nice to be able to do that. Okay. So, Nintendo, congratulations to you this morning. Yay. Glad to see y'all making a comeback. Microsoft, since that was short, I'm going to jump into another one real quick. Change it. Microsoft, y'all need to...
They do.
They're still trying to recover by saying things that really is not helping. One of the companies, whoever, says that Xbox has the power of 10 Xbox 360 consoles. This really is not helping you. Of course, they're still reeling from their PR nightmare about the used games policies and always online nature. But that hasn't stopped them from espousing the next-gen platform's big potential. In a closed-door meeting called the Xbox 101, attended by our friends at Games Industry International, the company stressed that the Xbox One has the computational power of more than 10 Xbox 360 consoles. And Molly Pop from formerly We the Gamer, now Ghost Sparta, said that it was really heavy. So that makes sense that it would be heavy since it has all this power. I said the cloud brings infinite additional processing power as well. Those are the words of Xbox engineering manager Jeff Henshaw, and he led a demonstration on how the Xbox One's power has enabled Microsoft to create a demo using real data from NASA to track the orbital velocity of 40,000 asteroids in space. And this is what you should have been showing at E3. This is what you should have been showing to try to at least sway us. We don't care about Forza Motorsport. If you're going to talk about the power, you should have had that at E3. He says, while Henshaw and his team were very proud of the power of the Xbox One, when it's offline, the real advantage, he stressed, comes from Microsoft's special cloud services. He says, Microsoft has hundreds of thousands of servers and dozens of data centers geographically distributed around the planet, and Xbox One has the ability to instantly tap into that limitless computational horsepower. With the extra cloud power, Microsoft is able to take the number of asteroids from 40,000 to 330,000 and any device doing the computational math to realistically, in real time, chart the orbital velocity of 330,000 asteroids would melt a hole in the ground. But Xbox is able to do it without even breaking a sweat because it's pulling virtualized cloud computing resources. Yay, yay, yay. Yay! But this is, again, you didn't let us see it. We're still hearing about it from Games Industry International. You should have been showing that at E3, and you just need to ditch the Always On. And I'm telling you, I will be on board. That's what's irritating all of us. I can't keep saying that enough. I'll say it every day until you just stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And people are still saying, nice puff piece. They said, and somebody said, Mother, please make it stop. Ay caramba, something like that. Next up, a white van tour where they grab gamers off the street and make them play on Xbox rolling around the city to show it can stay online while in motion. And that's from Greg Wilcox, creator of Destroy All Fanboys. I love it!
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. That is sadly true. Sadly, horribly.
They won't. They won't go. Just go ahead and concede defeat.
They're not going to. You know they're not going to. They're going to hang on to that as long as they possibly can. All right, so, people, bad day. All right, there is some missing code out there right now, and somebody's stolen it, and if you have it, may your soul burn in whatever Hades you believe in.
Uh-oh.
Indie developer, I'm not going to be able to say that name right. Indie developer Vlambeer was robbed at E3. This is coming from Rami Ismail, co-founder of the company. The ridiculous phishing developer claims that a backpack was stolen on early Thursday morning from the Figuero Hotel Pool Bar, a popular hangout for developers. A pool bar. surprising. Anyways, that backpack contained a laptop, two iPads, a PlayStation Vita, a Vita test kit, a Kindle Fire, various connectors and cables, and the code for Vlambeer's upcoming game, Luftrusser.
Oh, baby, you don't bring that stuff with you.
Why would you bring it to a pool bar?
If you're going to bring it to the pool bar, you need to keep it on your shoulder at all times.
Pool bar is one of those bars next to a pool, yes?
Yeah. I know exactly what
I'm talking about. And you took a backpack full of electronics next to a pool.
Not just next to the pool, but he left it sitting by itself.
Wow.
Why would you leave?
Man, I don't know. But basically, everything Vlambeer is in the basically, everything Vlambeer. Is in the bag, he says. So it kind of feels like Vlambeer got stolen.
You don't have Lookout Mobile on your stuff at least so that you can find it, trace it?
Not. He says, we've got good backups. We take good care of everything. Apparently not, dude. We've got decent backups to continue working. It's just a giant pain. Ismail said that when he called police to help them, or sorry, to tell them about the theft, they asked him if he was there for the convention. Apparently thieves had been targeting E3 attendees and other people.
That's how they got me. ID theft. Identity theft. You guys better check your bank accounts when you get home, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right? They actually mentioned that it was likely people had been targeting people that were at the convention. Polygon also suffered a theft at E3. Someone stole a backpack with camera equipment. It seems that thieves had also targeted people inside the convention center. Security never recovered Polygon's belongings.
And they won't.
Wow. The ESA officials did warn press at the event that several cameras had been stolen from the press room and to keep an eye on equipment. Following the announcement, security for the convention started checking photo IDs. This is E3. You weren't checking them before?
They're supposed to be.
Man, that security company would be fired. You know, no, I'd be pressing the security company to pay for all the lost stuff if they weren't checking photo IDs before. They should have been doing this. That's what they're paid to do, you know? Not cute. Y'all making Ginger get all angry in the morning, and y'all don't understand. Ginger is tired. She doesn't have the energy to be angry. Stop it!
All right. In case you did not know, there is a Tomb Raider movie reboot in the works. The person who's writing it, one Miss Marty Noxon. I know you're saying, who the hell is that? Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah!
I don't really Marty, I don't really like her writing. She's one of the writers on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think she needs to go ahead and hand that to Joss Whedon and just walk away, Marty. Anyway, the film is suspected to reboot the big screen adventures of heroine Lara Croft and provide her with a fresh origin story following in the footsteps of the Crystal Dynamics game that we all adore, which I am probably going to go grab from the Redbox sometime tonight because I need to do a quick playthrough before I let Baby Natrix see it because I'm not sure just how bad it gets. I got to do a pre-play.
That's some good parenting right there.
Yeah, you don't just throw them in there like that, guys. So the storyline, they say, may differ from the game. According to Eurogamer, although the game's darker, grittier tone will remain, there will be a new, younger version of Lara, so no, there will be no Jolie in it. Noxon rose from writer to producer and later co-writer on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Joss Whedon's cult TV show, although sometimes a controversial figure with the show's rabid fan base. During her 6-year tenure, she wrote more than 20 episodes and also contributed to the spinoff Angel. She's now done some stints on Glee, Mad Men, Grey's Anatomy, and Private Practice, and the new Tomb Raider film has been talked over for several years. Iron Man and Children of Men writers Mark Fergus and Hawk Ortsby were previously attached to Scribes. I do like the fact that it's a woman. She may be able to put a spin on it that it needs to have, the same as they did with the game. So we'll see how she does. I don't always like the way that she writes specifically. I think although Joss is a man, he tends to actually get it. He tends to get it right a lot more often than not. We'll see. Are you going to go see it? They're saying, okay, the game actress that did the video capture is Camilla Luddington. I think we showed you guys her before, our gender did. People are asking if she's going to play the role on the big screen, but we don't know yet. I don't know. I guess she could. She's got a little cute, young, fresh face. She looks like she could be a young Lara. She's already got the accent. She's already English, so maybe that might be a good idea. Just go ahead and throw her in there. The game's already made, which would be nice.
I think they should hire Ginger.
They are pumping up this Thief business, by the way. I'm trying not to get excited.
Thief business?
The game Thief. One of my favorite games. I'm loving the new tagline they've added. What's yours is mine.
Hotness right there.
Love it.
All right. So, this is kind of cool. And I've actually got a video for it. I've got to get it up. Hold on. Let's go to the YouTube video. And let's get this up. This is really cool, talking about how awesome our industry is, the geek industry in general. Let me rephrase this. I'm pulling this from the Google Fiber blog. A 13-year-old Kansas City... Oh, it makes noise. Stop making noises. All right, 13-year-old Kansas City area resident Nick LeGrand has been a baseball fan since he can remember. He loves to watch baseball, talk about baseball, and of course, play baseball. Unfortunately, last year, Nick was diagnosed with severe aplastic anemia, which is a rare blood disease, and it's kept him off the field pretty much indefinitely. When the Oakland A's Major League Baseball team heard about Nick's situation earlier this year, they asked him to throw out the first pitch at tonight's game. All right, tonight, sorry, this was 2 days ago, so 2 days ago's game. Because of his illness, he couldn't hop on a plane for the 1,800-mile journey from Missouri to the A Stadium in California. Luckily, there was another way for Nick to throw up that night's ceremonial pitch. He did it using the Internet. When you think about the power of the Internet and the importance of broadband connectivity to communities, it's easy to just think of sending email or watching videos. But high bandwidth applications on the web have made a host of other amazing things possible. For example, the field of telerobotics. That's such a cool word. That's the ability to control robotics over long distances using the web. That's how, using a specially designed web-connected pitching robot, Nick LeGrand was able to throw out the first ever telerobotic pitch in MLB history. At 8:53 p.m. Central Time, Nick was at the Google Fiber Space in Kansas City, which they transformed into a mini baseball stadium with real grass, real dirt, and bleachers just for the occasion. Then using an Android app, Nick was able to control the movements of a robot that sat on the pitcher's mound in Oakland. That robot was equipped with a camera, which fed live stream back for a first-hand view of what the stadium actually looked like to Nick. Then joined by his family and friends, teammates, and doctors from the Children's Mercy Hospital, Nick was able to toss out the game's first pitch in Kansas City and in Oakland. Tell me that's not effing cool. The kid couldn't make it because of his illness, but he was still able to be there virtually and to control this arm so he could throw out the actual real pitch in California. That is just amazing to me. That is so cool. And Corey is muted or is...
I am and just talking away. I am and talking, just talking away. Have you ever used a network called Nextdoor?
No, I've not.
I'm going to share with you because I've used it, and I love something new that they've been doing. I don't often pay that much attention to it, but it's really nice. And I'm going to give you the link. You can play the little video they have there. But this is if you haven't used this, you probably should go look around and see if it's set up in your neighborhood. It's a neighborhood social network, and basically it allows you to get to know your neighbors, where they are. Like my neighbors will say, you know, talk about like whose house got broken into. They start noticing a pattern. This really helps when you go to the police and say, you know, these houses here are getting broken into. So the police know, you know, to start looking in this general area. And usually thieves mm-hmm. are not that savvy to be checking online. But neighborhood has now signed up its biggest and most high-profile user yet, which is New York City. Michael Bloomberg, who's the mayor, has announced news at Nextdoor's San Francisco headquarters and says it'll make it easier for the city to communicate directly with residents on the neighborhood updates and public safety matters, which is, like I said, what we use it for. The Nextdoor partnership is a bit of an obvious one for New York City. I would have thought they already had it, which has gone out of its way to embrace new technologies and social networks like Twitter and Tumblr. As Bloomberg noted in a statement, partnering with Nextdoor is a step in adoption of strategic technology that better serves New Yorkers. It was launched in 2011. It has over 14,000 neighborhoods. It's backed by $40 million, and in May it released an iPhone app. There's not a Droid app. I checked. The company has inked similar partnerships with governments in big cities like San Diego, Dallas, San Jose, and, of course, here in Houston. Of course, the only problem with this sort of big partnership is that its effectiveness hinges directly on how many New Yorkers actually take the time to sign up for Nextdoor to begin with. So if you are in any of those areas, I urge you, please sign up for it. It is really a nice a little social network. Very, very nice. And you don't, for those of you who are kind of like me, I'm a little introverted. I like to meet people. I just don't actually want to go over to meet them. So I can interact with my neighbors. I can see who's having garage sales, you know, and I think the last time I looked at it, everybody was trying to put together a garage sale on a whole street, you know, which is really helpful. To know exactly where it is, and they were deciding who was going to have food. And it was going to be so organized. You know, usually garage sales are not that organized, so everybody was like, okay, you bring your stuff here. What do you have? You've got ovens. I'll put that in front of my house, and you can put your clothes here, and then we'll have the stuff here, like an actual store. Then we'll put the food at the other end, and if anybody walks up that wants some of our food, you know, you can sell it. And then they got into, you know, permits and stuff. Well, we can sell this without having a permit. We could do popsicles. We could do this, you know, this type of stuff. It was really highly organized, and it doesn't work that way when you don't have something like this. It's really nice. Ginger's like looking like, am I on here?
No, I'm putting in a fake address.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're broadcasting. Yeah. Don't put in your ruin. But very.
No, I don't live in Beverly Hills, California.
Don't you wish though? But very cool software. Very, very cool.
Nextdoor is available for your neighborhood.
Yep.
Apparently, it's not already set up.
Yeah, but once you get in there, you'll find. I think somebody, you know, people have the ability to go in and say, okay, I'm going to be the person that sets this up and kind of watches it. But very, very neat. I love what they're doing. It's kind of like I remember being little and they used to announce on the news, they call it Neighbor's Day Out or something like that, or a night out, and they tell, I don't know if they did this everywhere, but in Houston they would get on the news and tell people go outside to meet your neighbors because that lowers the chance of you getting robbed or things like that. If you know who lives next door to you, you know who's not supposed to be at the house next door. You know, this. If you don't see the people, if somebody's coming in taking stuff, you have no idea if the person you're looking at robbing your neighbor is supposed to be there.
That's true.
So this is kind of gives a new twist on that. You know, you may not see the people, but at least you can talk to them. And most people will say stuff like, you know, I usually work from 12 to 5, and while I was gone, somebody kicked in my door. And I live, you know, three houses down from Corey. And I go, okay, well, I can see down the sidewalk, so I know if somebody's supposed to be there around this time because I've seen my neighbor.
Oh, the fun of living out in the boonies. Help locate your exact address.
Where you be?
Yeah, Google Maps does the same thing. This address does not exist. Yes, it does. I live here.
You don't live here. You're making it up.
It's always funny. It's always funny. All right, so that is kind of neat, though. I am so antisocial, though, to actually to go out and meet my neighbors.
Well, no, you don't have to with this one. That's why I like it. You can actually interact with them here. And if it's something that you actually want to get involved in, then you can go out. But you know where you're going. You know who they are because you've been seen.
Neighbors would even know how to work.
Luckily, mine do. Luckily, thank God they do.
Well, mine know how to, you know, raise goats and cows and chickens.
Well, there we got a few of those around here. I gotta get a picture. There's a free range chicken that roams around here somewhere. When I catch him crossing the street, I'm gonna get a picture and post it to Facebook. He's hard to catch. She's a rooster. He's not a chicken. He's a rooster.
Oh, roosters are still chickens.
Yes, I know when you eat them, he's still chicken. But you know, I want it to be politically correct. I didn't want to mislabel him.
Okay.
You know how
he's
roosters
not
are.
A hen. He's
yeah.
not a hen.
Yeah, you know how roosters are about their masculinity. I'm a rooster.
Yes. Here on the Lunch of Ginger and Corey show, we care about roosters' masculinity being offended.
Yes, we don't want to offend him.
All right. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to lose my voice. Apogee sues Gearbox over Duke Nukem Forever deal.
It's a little late for that, right?
Seriously, Duke Nukem's only going to be forever because y'all won't stop fighting about it.
Yeah.
Apogee Software has filed a lawsuit against Gearbox Software in Texas State Court.
Ooh.
Claiming that the developer and publisher who took over Duke Nukem Forever owes it more than $2 million in unpaid royalties and fees. Apogee's lawsuit alleges that Gearbox failed to pay the money it owed to the company from the 2010 purchase agreement of Duke Nukem Forever, and that Gearbox refused to allow the Apogee to conduct an independent audit of the royalties. Gearbox Software issued a harsh statement over to Polygon about the Apogee lawsuit and Scott Miller's part in it, saying that the allegations were false, that Apogee 3D Realms received the full benefit of the deal, and that Apogee 3D Realms failed to abide by the objective audit rules outlined in the agreement. But the real insult comes when Gearbox takes a personal jab at Apogee's Scott Miller.
Ooh.
Perhaps the lesson learned here is to never enter a gaming business deal with a person who has had more lawsuits than shipped games.
Oh.
Talk about below the belt. Oh, that was hot. Gearbox says that they will prevail in the lawsuit. And, of course, we will have more on this as it develops. Right now, I'm going to say I'm going to be Team Gearbox. Go Gearbox, because that was hot. That was hot. I love a company who can insult us.
Yes. Ooh. Throw some dirt out. Oh.
That was sexy.
Right.
More lawsuits than shipped games. Ow, baby. Ow.
He's
going to need a burn ward for that.
Oh, she said you're going to get a burn ward. Oh, snap. Okay, yeah, I had to grab that one.
We're so weird.
Weird and random. Okay, so it be time for... Or not Steam game sales. But it's
yay! Game sales!
All right. I know it's the weekend time. Some of you are like, I got very limited funds. I need to play something new. I'm like that. I love a new game. Nothing like a new game. I prefer one I can pick up and hold and smell the... Yes. I would love to smell the packaging. But since if you can't smell the packaging and you just want some excitement, guess what is on sale for 49 cents?
You?
Oh, Ginger, really? See, little red-haired children. That's why the little red-headed stepchildren. This is why. Don't feel bad for them, because this is why. They do stuff like that. Not going to save you. All right, so if you already have Saints Row the Third for PC, and you're like, I would love to have some of that DLC, that hot, sexy DLC, 49 cents at Green Man Gaming, any of them. The Money Shot DLC, the Third Z-Style Pack, the Third Explosive, The shark, the third shark attack, and this is Saints Row the third again. So all these are 49 cents at Green. Wait a minute, is it Green? Yeah, Green Man Gaming. Go over and pick that up. Hacker Evolution, we've mentioned here. It's 95% off at 49 cents. Wow. A Game of Dwarves, if you play that one, which I hear is an excellent game, their DLC is also 49 cents. Magicka DLC at GameStop and Green Man Gaming, 49 cents. The Wizard Survival Kit, 49 cents. You got your Hearts of Iron, for those of you who like your war games, 49 cents at GameStop and Green Man Gaming. Let me jump up. Dollar? Got a dollar to spend? You say, I got a dollar. I'm balling.
I
have a dollar. So you got $1.02? Yeah. You got 2 cents to add on? Okay, so for $1.02, you can play Tajimoto. I have no idea what that is. But it's $1.02, and it's a new game. It's something you hopefully will...
I'll not be able to afford $1.02. That's cheap enough.
Right. What about... Do you have $1.25? Because if you do, all of the Awesome Knots... all the Awesome Knots, period. It's Steam at Gamersgate. $1.25.
That's a good price. I could do that.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Pixel Dungeons, I don't know what that is. I think it's supposed to be like Minecraft, if I'm not mistaken.
Pixel Dungeons.
$1.49 at Desura. You got more of your Saints Row the Third purple something. The Purple Ops. Your Purple Ops pack, that's $1.74 at Gray Man Gaming. Street Dance 3D.
Woo-woo!
That's for you serious ballers for $2. $1.99. I say $1.99, but yeah, I'm going to hear Baby Nature scream across the room in a minute and say, it's $2. Stop with the $1.99. Magicka Dungeons and Demons is $1.99. At where? GameStop. GameStop is jumping in on the sales now? Wow. All right. You that love...
Good for them. They need to do something to get some people in those stores.
Right. If you like King Arthur, the role-playing war game, you can pick that up at GameStop for $2.49. Why does that interest me? I'm going to open that up. So I'm going to look at that later. All right. So I want to see what that's about. Also, there's more King Arthur Fallen Champions. Elven Legacy. If you
Elven Legacy.
I like when she sings. Don't y'all like it? $2.49 at GameStop. Majesty, which I've played, and it is, for those of you who like the Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, but Warcraft, like the original one, that's what Magic was like, but set in a... You know, that whole King Queen era. That is $2.49 at GameStop and on Steam as well. Let me jump up because some of you are like, I got more than $2. I'm ready to do this. What you got for me? What you got? Well, I got for $7. You people that are big ballin', a game called Asgard, brand new. Check it out at Green Man Gaming. I don't know. The East India Company Collection, $7.49. It's a whole collection of games. All the everything. Lego Lord of the Rings, Ginger.
Yay!
On sale at Green Man Gaming for $7.49 because she's balling like that. She can do it. She got $7.49.
Yeah.
Damn straight, she got $7.49. I don't know what this is either. Patterns, I don't know what that is, but it's $9.95. Our Ginger is singing. For my simulator people, Skyscraper Simulator is on sale at Green Man Gaming for a mere pittance of $9.99.
A mere pittance.
If you don't have the actual Saints Row the Third and you're like, I got 49 cents for my expansion pack, so where can I get Saints Row on sale? Well, Green Man Gaming, again, $9.99. You can get the Saints Row the Third and then turn around and take all your little extra cashes, your 49 cents, and get all that DLC. Yay. Baldur's Gate, the Enhanced Edition, is on sale for $11.89 at Beamdog. And that's one probably you're going to be playing for a while. You're not going to play through it quick, guys. That's old school right there. You're not going to play through it in 48 hours. You're going to be playing this for some months because that's when they used to give us bang for our buck. Mm-hmm. I still haven't finished Baldur's Gate. I'm just going
to
tell you now. And I bought this years ago. You can't finish it. You cannot. Not in 48 hours. Okay. Walking Dead. The Walking Dead game.
Yay! That's an awesome game right there.
I'm not sure which one it is because, you know, we have two out there. But it looks to be the one from Telltale. So if it is, it's $12.49 at Green Man Gaming. It's a lot of... Green Man Gaming has a lot of stuff on sale. I'm going to start checking them out. The Patrician, which I played and hated, but you might like it. $14.99 at Green Man Gaming as well. Steam has a game called Freightliner Class 66 V20. I'm imagining it's a simulator, but it does not interest me, believe it or not. that is on sale for $16.99 on Steam. Shadowrun Returns, which I am very interested in, it's still 10% off on Steam. If you've never played Shadowrun, you have to. That's where all this, I won't say that's where it started, but that's where it took a turn for the good as far as our gaming with in groups and oh man, awesome game. Awesome, awesome. All right, then let me get up here for these super big ballers. You right there, I'm talking to you. You just got money. You just don't know what to do with yourself. $39.99 at GameStop, SimCity.
Spend it on Ginger.
You got BioShock Infinite? Oh, you don't? $49.99, Green Man Gaming. Oh, and you right there. You want the 2K bundle? $69.99, 78% off. Yeah, because it was expensive. And those of you who want to design your own games before you get a hold of Spark, Substance Designer is on sale again at Steam. They dropped the price down even more. It's $89.99 for a regular version, and for the commercial version is only 20% off. It's $471.99. Enjoy yourself.
Yay! Well, they kind of had to when Spark was, you know, down.
Oh, Spark is about to eat them up and spit them out because this is wow.
Not so sexy.
If it only it wasn't on Xbox. Why does it have to be on Xbox One? I want it somewhere else. Oh, you know, I would be just lost. Oh, man, talk about lost to the world. I would never come out.
That's true. That's true. We'd never see our Corey again. All right, so I have to show this game. Let me get it going. Trucker Parking Simulator receives first free content update.
Trucker?
Yeah. Corey, you know you always wanted to be a trucker.
I do.
Try your hand at driving the nimble pickup truck. 24
not
brand
a
new
pickup
challenging
truck.
Levels. Yeah, these don't look like pickup trucks to me. At least not what I think about. Trucker Parking Simulator is growing fast. We've had an amazing 4.5 million players in our first month since launch, they say. This free content update is their way of thanking people for playing. Trucker Parking Simulator is a free-to-play truck parking simulator available on iTunes. You can also get the pro version, which is the same game without adverts, over on the iTunes store. It's got a couple of features. Huge 72-level career mode with three awesome vehicles, the European oil tanker, and a powerful American monster super truck available in in-app purchase. New free pickup truck with 24 brand new levels. Free drive sandbox mode. Learn your craft there. Realistic physics, accurate handling, and finely tuned controls for an exciting, challenging drive. Full 3D world to explore. Adjustable cameras to give the perfect view, including first person with rear view mirrors, and easy game mode available as an in-app purchase. Yay! All right, so you want to learn more about it, you want to check out the videos, you can head over to trucker-game.com. Da-da-da-da!
I am not sure I want to play that. Do I get...
No.
It said pickup truck? I want
to... This is not a regular pickup truck. This is... I think I have it up on the screen. I hope I have it up on... Yeah.
I don't want to pick
this, this is an 18-wheeler. This is an 18-wheeler.
Oh, okay.
I was made this is not from the U.S. This is an 18-wheeler you're driving.
Mm. I want the 18-wheeler.
It's interesting.
Patrick is asking, so Shadowrun, I think I played it on Amiga. Yeah, it's Amiga, and it was on Sega Genesis and Nintendo 64.
Oh, my God. That was way back.
And Jay is saying... He's about to splurge on his two Saints Row expansions, like every damn bit of $1.23. That's what I'm talking about. Big ballin'.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
He got $1.23, girl. You better cop up on that. He's got an extra $1.23.
Where are the keys to that case you were promising me?
Did you say cage?
Cage.
Oh, I was like,
case. Jamie Case.
I was like, what's going on there? All right, EA,
yeah,
though they...
Lock us in a cage.
Let's talk about that off the air. Okay, so EA, though they had apparently, according to why is the ex-boyfriend thing just popping into my head this thing? Wow, you're all that was weird. Wow, maybe I'm getting Alzheimer's. Okay, so they had an excellent showing at E3, according to you're all. However, they are saying they're dissolving. Danger Close. EA's Patrick Soderlund has confirmed that Danger Close, the studio responsible for the Medal of Honor franchise, is gone.
Ouch. Oh, no.
The fate of Danger Close has been in doubt ever since EA announced it would be shelving the Medal of Honor franchise following the disappointing performance of Warfighter. That's because you... Why do they always switch up stuff and then they're surprised when people don't take to it? I'm not saying everything needs to stay exactly the same, but you switched it up to something completely different than what it was. It was unrecognizable. Nobody wanted to play that. Speaking to Eurogamer, EA Games boss Patrick Soderlund confirmed that the studio had effectively been dissolved. Danger Close, as it was, does not exist anymore. He said there are those people who left L.A., people who went to work with DICE L.A., and there are some who work in other parts of EA, as always, when something gets dismantled. At present, DICE L.A. is primarily there to support the studio's Stockholm headquarters. Soderlund gave expansion packs and premium services as examples of tasks the studio might be given. Development of Mirror's Edge 2, Battlefield 4, and the newly announced Battlefront will be based in Stockholm. He says it's a way for us to expand the DICE universe, to be able to do more. They are helping. Who knows where this team will take them, or where this will take them. Right now, they're focused on helping. Frankly, it's about talent. Where can we find the right talent and people we think have the critical skills we need? When you're in Sweden, Stockholm is a giant gaming city with DICE and Mojang. Yes, Mojang is in Stockholm. You ought to know that. And all the other companies. But we realized we needed to extend our reach if we wanted to get to the breadth of talent we wanted. Since the DICE LA announcement, we've had a lot of pressure on that studio from people who wanted to come work here. After E3, you can probably imagine there will be more. I did like the Medal of Honor thing. They just... I don't know what happened. I don't know why they didn't do something different. I loved that they dealt with time periods and the guns and that you had to, you know, learn how to shoot the guns. The sniper rifle was absolutely brilliant. You had to learn the trajectory and the spin on the bullet before you tried to shoot anybody. And these scopes were, you know, the scopes back then, think about it, they weren't so enclosed. So they would get dust in them, so you probably couldn't see half the time if you're aiming at the right person. I remember a mission I was supposed to kill somebody, and I kept missing him and hitting the guy next to him, and then, of course, that caused a whole bunch of mayhem. So I either had to try to figure out how to get away from my spot up there in my high, lofty perch before they got up there to me, or they'd kill me, and then the level would end, and I had to start all over again. I never managed to get away, except for one time. I hid in a clock tower or something. No, it wasn't a clock tower. A lighthouse, that's what it was. Anyway.
All right.
Sorry. So, well, I'm happy they didn't lose their jobs. Let's look on the positive. They at least still have somewhere to work.
That,
yay.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing. Okay, so there's a new Command & Conquer on the horizon, people. I'm going to lose my voice, too. Having not learned any lessons from SimCity's abysmal launch, because it was an always-on title, EA, as much as they've been trying to look like the good guy recently, has revealed that the next Command & Conquer game being developed by Victory Games will be free to play, but it's also going to have a similar always connected requirement. The game's developer director Tim Morton says that while Command & Conquer will require an internet connection, using DICE's Frostbite engine will help them avoid some of the problems that SimCity suffered through. When you're peer-to-peer, inherently somebody else can hack their own peer. Inherently, you have to wait for their packets to get to you. Client server, the only place the server code lives is on the server, and the server has an authoritative world state, so there's no wait for the other player's actions to get to you. That way, we have the best multiplayer experience we can provide. It's not living on some person's machine. It's protected out in the cloud so that nobody can cheat. Haven't y'all learned yet not to say nobody can cheat? Somebody's going to find a way.
Right? They always do.
They always do. As for those who have a crappy internet connection, Morton offers some familiar advice. Buy old games in the series.
And play on Xbox 360.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, I think, that there really is a heightened sensitivity. Obviously, it's caught on a lot with the Xbox One announced as well. We designed this as a live service, and at the end of the day, if people want to play offline, we have a bunch of other great Command & Conquer games that we still offer in the Ultimate Collection. Some people live in parts of the world where they just don't have internet, and we want them to still be able to play C&C, and that's the Ultimate Collection for them.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Thinking of your customers.
Unlike SimCity Command and Conquer, they don't pretend to have a single-player component at all. It's an online game through and through. Command & Conquer is currently in closed beta, with an open beta planned for later this year. And you can go ahead and sign up for it over at commandandconquer.com. Check it out.
Wow.
On one hand, at least, at least they're letting you know way before. I mean, because it's still in beta. And it sucks. It sucks.
I'm sorry, Ginger. Want me to cut him?
Yeah, just go ahead. Just a good deep one. Just get it over.
Oh, she wants me to do a deep cut.
Yeah. I mean, I want to hate on him.
But?
I don't have the energy. I'm too tired, people. E3 has worn me out.
And we were not even on the floor before you all had to take a nap. Well, all right, more. Yeah.
I'm back without my swag.
Girl, good luck with that. Microsoft's used game policy for Xbox One revealed the company's desire to transition game ownership to more licensed-based approach, which is stupid. Nintendo's top designer Shigeru Miyamoto has said he believes that games should retain access for a long time, or gamers should retain access to games they own for a very long time. Miyamoto told Eurogamer that he thought games like a physical toy should remain the property of their owner. Thank you. Very nice.
Thank you.
What's really important, he says, is viewing Nintendo almost like a toy company where we're making these things for people to play with. As a consumer, you want to be able to keep those things for a long time and have those things from your youth that you can go back and experience again. Thank you. I couldn't put into words exactly why this was irking me. Thank you, Miyamoto. According to Eurogamer, he says, I really want to maintain that product nature so that games we create, the people can do that. They can go back and have that experience. He said, to me, that's something that's very important about entertainment itself. So from the approach of continuing to create things that are entertaining for people, that's an important direction for me that I want to maintain. The eShop, Nintendo's digital game store, allows for the transfer of digital content between your DSi and your 3DS and between the Wii and the Wii U. So those of you that said, you know, I was going to go ahead and get a Wii U, your stuff is actually transferable. It is not on the Xbox One. Your game saves, nothing will transfer over. You might as well throw that little pretty little brick you brought in the trash. But Nintendo, of course, has yet to integrate a comprehensive user account system for users to log in on another console. So if you lose your 3DS, for instance, you lose all your game licenses associated with your account on that machine. So they need to work on that. You're almost there, Nintendo. For more of Miyamoto's thought on the Wii U, on why you didn't see a new Zelda at E3 and his eventual retirement, you can go over and check out his personal little interview at Games Industry International. Yay for them.
Yay.
Yeah, I like what he's saying there. That's exactly why I'm usually against digital, why we complain here about some of you that, like, I bought a deluxe version of World of Warcraft and it cost me $269 and they're going to give me an in-game mount. You pay $269 for a digital animal that if World of Warcraft closes tomorrow, you can't take it out of the game. You won't keep it. You won't ever see it again. That is money wasted.
I hate it when they do that.
Yeah, send me a physical copy of a little mount. It's maybe as large. I can sit it on my desk. So even if WoW is gone, when I look at that thing 20 years from now, I'll be like, man, I miss World of Warcraft. Sure is nice that I have that. What? Y'all stop accepting less.
Yeah.
Stop accepting less than what you paid for. Tell them to give you something. I want something physical I can hold in my hand. That ruined your whole thing. Think about this. If you don't have these games, what happens years from now where you're like, you know, I want to sell some of this stuff on eBay? You can't sell a digital copy on eBay because it'll be gone.
That's very, very, very true. Very true. Now y'all have got me worried. Is my sound, like, way down again or something? Because
you weren't down for me.
Okay. All right. I'm just not quite sure what's going on, and you know me. I'm like, somebody, what's going on? Okay, so, Cliffy B throws his two cents in. Somebody just give this dude...
Oh, Cliffy, go away.
Gears of War designer and former Epic Games developer Cliff Bleszinski has thrown his support behind Microsoft's Xbox One and its new DRM measures that seek to control the use and sale of used game discs.
Wait 1 second, Ginger. I need to cross his name off my list of people's laps. I'm going to sit in Cliffy B. No. Very big letters. No.
Yes. No.
Scratch, scratch, scratch. Look. Here we go.
Yeah. All right. So, via Twitter, Blakrasky posted several comments expressing his support of the Xbox One's move towards a DRM-controlled game market, saying that AAA development costs, as they are now, cannot be maintained in a marketplace that also supports used games. Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a game and marketing budgets this high while also having used and rental games existing. The numbers do not work.
They can't hear you.
They can't hear me?
Nope.
What in the world? Why can't I be heard?
I don't know, but you got two people that they cannot hear you.
Ah, crap. All right, can you hear me now? My bad. There we go. Hopefully I'm back. Am I back? Am I back?
Yep, now they can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay. And I have some good stuff there, too. Okay, so Cliffy B, backs Xbox One DRM. Yeah, all right. So the Gears of War designer and former Epic Games developer, Cliff Bleszinski, he's going out on a limb, and he's getting behind Microsoft's Xbox One. Well, it's its new DRM measures that seek to control the use and sell of used game discs. He got on Twitter and started running his mouth, and somebody should really put some duct tape over it. Lekrafsky posted several comments expressing his support of the Xbox One's move towards the DRM-controlled used game market, saying that AAA development costs, as they are now, cannot be maintained in a marketplace that also supports used games. He says, you cannot have game and marketing budgets this high while also having used and rental games existing. The numbers do not work, people. He also went on to...
That's funny because it's working for the rest of them. Why is it not working for you? Just saying.
What's for Steam? I wonder what's going on with the people who are Steam.
It's working for PlayStation.
Right? The visual fidelity and feature sets we expect from games now come with sky-high costs. Assassin's Creed games are made by thousands of devs. Newsflash, this is why you're seeing free-to-play and microtransactions everywhere. The disc-based day one $60 model is crumbling. Those of you telling me then just lower game budgets don't understand how silly you sound.
Cliffy, yeah. GTFO, dude. Go.
All right.
Just go.
He also went on to say that people mad about Xbox One's mandatory online check-in every 24 hours are directing their anger at the wrong people. If you can afford high-speed internet and you can't get it where you live directly, direct your rage at who is responsible for pipe blocking you.
No, I'm directing it at you because you are supposed to be the one that's catering to me, not my ISP.
Exactly.
Is he really?
Cliffy B, two fingers for you. Guess which one?
Wait a minute. Here's what's amazing. You people that say you should lower the budget don't understand how silly you are. That's funny because Minecraft is the most graphically inferior and a game ever, but the most wildly popular. I'm guaranteeing you he's not needing a high budget to do some of the things that he's doing, or Mojang is doing
less
over there.
Less graphics, more gameplay. I don't want to buy a $60 flipping game, play 4 hours, and it be done. That is bull crap. Just complete and utter crap. So fix your stuff. Cliffy B, shut up, sit down, and just look pretty, because apparently that's all
you're you can
for.
Do.
Man, right now you're not looking so pretty.
Zot says, you can't trust a man driving the Lamborghini. A real man drives a Ferrari. Apparently they're all driving Ferraris and Lamborghinis over there, because that's what they want us to pay for. Is why.
And I wonder why production costs are so effing high.
You know what? Here's what's the most amazing thing. Has Xbox, Cliffy B, any of them not realize you live in an age of PR? When you open your mouth and say things like that, you're not helping the companies. You're not helping Xbox. They've already put their foot in the mouth. You just push the thing in later. You push the stake in deeper, the knife in deeper, whatever you want to call it. You're making people angry. And just because you're like, hey, I'm Cliffy B, you can be as arrogant as you want. You can be arrogant and your broke ass can be standing down on the soup line getting soup. Because this is ridiculous that they're talking. Does anybody notice how they're talking to us? None of this is humility from Xbox, from anybody that's trying to support them. They're actually, you know, yelling or you know, whatever it is they're doing, they're all talking down to us. They're being condescending. And if you don't have internet, then you need to talk.
Apparently, we're just stupid gamers, and we don't know any better. We don't know how this stuff works.
We just don't
understand.
You can't do that. Blame who's at fault. I don't know. So we should have some men and women out in the middle of nowhere risking their life to lay down fiber optic cable just so that you can be happy that we have our Xbox. Really? Okay. Thanks.
And if y'all want to pay to have fiber optic cable laid out here to where I'm at, you go right on ahead.
You know what they need to be watching is Google. We've already said they're coming for you, Xbox. They're coming for all of them.
I love that. Oh, well, you know, you just got to get your internet provider to lay it out. Do you know who they charge when you live out here in the boonies for that crap?
The people that live in the boonies. Yeah, they charge the people that live in the boonies.
They charge me. If I want it and I'm the only one out here, I have to pay for it.
And a pretty penny at that because they're going out of their way to bring it.
Yeah.
So that is ridiculous.
I deal with what I can get because I don't have, I mean, hell, if you want to give me the, you know, $50,000 to have it laid out here, or better, I mean, we're just talking that's the basic high-speed cable. We're not talking anything else. Just, you go right on ahead. But, till then, sit down, shut up, and just look pretty, okay?
I'm just shocked every day I hear something more, and none of it makes me say, oh, okay, Xbox, I feel bad for you. I mean, I do feel bad for them, but I'm like, oh, you know, you're not so bad. I know you're trying. They don't seem to be trying, and they're just digging their own grave and don't realize it.
Leech cocktails all around for them.
Why? And everybody, if you go around to all the media sites, everybody's saying they're trying to give them advice on how to recover from this, the mistakes that they've made. My cutie over at VentureBeat, Dean. Hi, Dean. You know, I like you, Dean. He was saying a story that he wrote. He said, Sony's message is simple. In a 30-second commercial, remember, you guys know the one we were talking about last night. It can simply say that its box is for gamers and it's cheaper. Microsoft can argue that it has a better deal, but it might take a 30-minute infomercial to get that across. 30 seconds is what it took for the show that video, basically to knock Microsoft completely off their perch. And that was, remember, this is how you share your games with your friends. And that's it. So they started, you know, with their reveal is where they messed up. Gamers had already reacted negatively. And, yes, Sony jumped on it. Kazurai, the chief executive officer of Sony, said that Sony's focus this time around with its upcoming PlayStation 4 was on gamers. The company would target its box at them to get it established in the home, and then it would deliver its broader entertainment message to scoop up the mass market, which is what you're supposed to do at E3. You have an Xbox. This is where you started with gamers. You don't start with TV. Sony already had TV. They already got it locked, Xbox. Do you not realize that? They've been doing Sony Pictures has been around forever. This is not the time for you to try to jump in feet first and then leave your core audience behind. They understood that, you know, we've already got this other part and we've been working with the console for a while. We're gonna give the gamers what they want. They made architectural decisions that suggested they wanted to go for the mass market first. Before E3, they tried to defuse consumer rights issues by announcing its somewhat complicated stance on used games. It wouldn't charge fees for them, but publishers could, and it would limit owners' sharing rights through digital rights management. It just got worse. Matrix, foot in the mouth. and then what's being called as the Sony Smackdown began. Jack Tritton, the chief Sony games business of Sony's game business here in the U.S., got a roar of applause when he announced Sony would permit consumers to buy and sell used games without restrictions. Nintendo articulated the same policy, and they didn't really need to because we knew they wouldn't. Second blow, Sony would sell the machine at $399, a full $100 below their price, and on it goes on and on and on. Because of the choices it made, Microsoft is now on the defensive, and you all see that every time they open their mouths. It could change its positions, and it should do so quickly, is what Dean is suggesting. It could, or else it could undo all of the work it did in the Xbox 360 generation to show that it could truly be the favorite among gamers. I think they've already undone everything. Now you say Xbox, it's a dirty word.
Yes, totally. Seriously. And it should be, because they kind of just totally upped over all the gamers. And they just don't care. They are so out of touch with the gamers right now.
I had my cousin call me last night. She's like, okay, I haven't been watching E3, but what I'm hearing is for real, right? They're going to force me to have always on internet. I said, yeah, you're right. She's like, well, beat this Xbox. And she's got two of them. Beat these Xboxes. I'm taking them back now. I'm taking them to the GameStop and selling them. I don't even want them. I'm just going to go ahead and get ready for my PlayStation 4. You guys.
Hell yeah. You go, girl. I like her.
Damage is already done. You guys, I'm so angry with them. I don't want my friends to lose their jobs. I got room, though, y'all. Y'all can come stay with me.
Well, you know what? I bet Sony's going to be hiring.
Damn straight. They're going to have more than they can handle. And with that, people, it's time for us to get out of here. See you guys bright and early Monday for lunch at Ginger and Corey. Hopefully we'll have back and our mental peace about it. Because E3 is taking a lot out of us. My voice is going. Yeah, all this talking.
Yeah.
Y'all know I can talk.
Right. We be tired here.
Right.
We tired.
We see y'all Monday, Monday, Monday!
Monday! Monday, and then I think we're going to be going.
Tuesday and Wednesday, we're out, but we'll remind them on Monday.
Time for some games. Get your few games.
Later, boys and girls.